You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to another daily episode of Zero Ducks Given during this England versus India test series. My God, my word. I mean, wow. Thankfully, I went to Liverpool game yesterday and then had lots of beers and woke up at 4 o'clock to put the cricket on and pretty much slept through all of it. And it sounds like that was probably for the best. If you didn't see it, England lost by, and this isn't us getting our facts wrong, and we do have history for getting pretty much all of our information wrong on this podcast, but England lost by 434 runs. India, in the third innings of the match and their second innings, made 430 for four declared. None of those numbers I just said are made up. I promise you, we're not lying to you for once. Jaiswal was 214 not out. This bloke is an absolute joke, by the way. And he's probably the second greatest batsman of all time, behind Sarfraz Khan, who on debut in the second innings finished on 68 not out. But the two of them were just absolutely obscene. They shared a partnership of 200-ish, 180 or something. Basically, it was loads of bloody runs. They were 258 for four. They declared on 430 before. It was mayhem. Jimmy Anderson at one point got hit for three sixes in a row by Jaiswal. All three of them ridiculous shots. One was a slog sweep. One was a shot over extra cover. At this point, I think Stokes realised there's no point in bowling Jimmy Anderson and Mark Wood into the ground. So the poor spinners just took all the tap. One for 108 for Ahmed. One for 78 for Hartley, who got off lightly. And one for 111 for Joe Root. Daniel Norcross, I've seen England lose some games of cricket in my time, but this is as savage a defeat as I can ever remember. Can do any others spring to mind for you? This is pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can remember when England lost to Australia, and Australia only lost four wickets in the entire match. So, you know, losing by an innings and being thrashed by the West Indies. I mean, all these things have happened sort of before, although this is India's highest ever victory in terms of runs in any match they've ever played. So that does sort of put into context, as you say, the savagery of the beating. The difference is that there was a genuine more than a moment when England were, well, on top on the first day when it picked up three quick wickets, and it got back to parity on the second day when Duckett had done his amazing things and they went overnight at 207 for two. And then it all massively unraveled from that very moment, very much like Lords, the moment the key bowler left the arena, Lyon, in 2023, Ashwin in 2024. England took that as their cue to play some of their worst cricket. And this isn't having a go at the methodology or the plan, but the execution. The execution was so bad in that first innings from a position of relative comfort. They didn't give their bowlers a chance. Because once you've conceded 130 and also you're sending them out to bowl again. Speaking to some of the guys who are at the ground, it's been fiercely hot. You know, it was like a scene from a Peckinpah movie at various points as players were just strewn on the ground with terrible cramps and, you know, them to take on board pickle juice and salts and protein drinks and God knows what else. And when you put it in that context, you realise the physically demanding nature of the game out there. Then there was a sort of brutal and cruel inevitability to it. And it's what happens when you lose a toss against India and they bat properly and sensibly and they stay in for a long period of time. You've got to get your first innings spot on, and England didn't get it spot on. And that's where they lost the game. I mean, there were lots of interesting things that came out of today. There was a moment when Mark Wood was very much on course to score the fastest 50 in English Test history. The previous holder, Ian Botham, did it in 28 balls at Delhi in 1981. Wood was on 30 off 10 and was making a serious assault on that record. That was the only bright spot, really, of what was a fairly miserable day. A failure to use DRS properly, Kuldeep Yadav. Wouldn't have thought he was a key wicket, but did hang around for quite a long time. Bang in front, not given out on the field, not reviewed. Actually, the very next ball, Kuldeep actually then ran out Shubman Gill, who made 91 and could have been on course himself to make a double hundred, but he was denied in a strange way by the night watcher. And it all feels catastrophic. But of course, it doesn't to the players because of baseball. And they know that they just put it to one side. They will have no scars. They don't care about these things. They'll come back and they'll do it all again. And if they win the toss, I would say they're in with a pretty good chance. I mean, I would say, though, slightly strange that we are talking about this Indian side. Oh, they don't have Kohli. They haven't selected Pujara. They feel like they're weak. They're not weak. This guy Jaiswal is the real deal. This guy Sarfraz is a real deal. They've just brought in two real deals. They've still got Ashwin. They've still got Jadeja. They've still got Bumrah. Whether they will for the next test, I wonder. I just wonder if they'll think back-to-back tests. We've got a sneaky opportunity here to rest Bumrah and Jadeja. I wonder if they might do that. And if England were to win the toss the next game, that might open the door. And we could be back at 2-2. Either way, what I loved most about today is that at the end of a rollicking defeat, everybody's memories are instantly wiped. Recency bias takes over and England are terrible. They're a shambles, they're a disgrace, and they need to modify the way they play cricket. Rather than pointing out that two tests ago they won with a very inexperienced spin bowling lineup, they held Australia, the world champions, to 2-2 in the Ashes, and for the most part their method has been working. And it seems to me that baseball is just so brilliant for our polarised times. Because in the polarised world we live in, especially on social media, you're either wrong and therefore should be cancelled or at the very least put in stocks and pilloried and have fruit thrown at you, or you're right, in which case you get a virtuous halo. But the wonderful thing about baseball is that people can simultaneously think that baseball's a bad idea and a good idea at the same time. So it's bringing confusion and nuance back to a troubled world, Toby.
I agree with all of that. And the thing is, we know with this style of cricket, which has been ridiculously successful, we can't lose sight of that. And by the way, if you told me after three tests we'd be 2-1 down in India, I'd have gone, sounds pretty good. Sounds about plausible. Sounds okay to me. So a bit of perspective is needed. This style of cricket is going to occasionally blow up in their faces. That's inevitable. It's still a pretty new style for a lot of these guys. It's a very inexperienced team playing, as you say. Okay, it's not the most experienced Indian side, but it's seriously good. I mean, Jaiswal looks unbelievable. He's Brian Lara on acid is the only way I can describe him. He can hit the ball everywhere. He can already judge the situation. And maybe it is something that, you know, baseball could learn a little bit from, because he is the epitome of baseball. He's baseballing everyone better than everyone has ever baseballed. He is, you know, he is king baseballer. But he does pick his moments. He played himself in. He was on 19 off about 40 and then just went berserk because he went, the bowlers are a bit tired now. I'm seeing it quite well. Time to go. And at that point, it just felt like, I mean, if they hadn't declared, I honestly don't know. I can't see how we're getting him out unless he was going to toe one down Longon's throat, but I don't know. Nothing was going near the toe. it was either hitting the middle or the slight outside edge of middle if he was really poor with his timing. So I think there needs to be a little bit of a reality check. And it will be a bit of a reality check for the England team as well, that maybe we can't just slog all the time. But like you say, there'll be no wound licking from this England side, which is a good thing, I think. We don't want an England side that goes away and feels sorry for itself. We don't want an English team that gets absolutely pumped in this test match and then spends the next few days crying into their pillow and thinking about how embarrassing it's all been. That would be no good for anyone. It would just mean that they go and do what other England sides have done recently and go and get pumped in the next test. This sort of, well, didn't work out for us today, crack on attitude is definitely the better approach. And I keep saying it, I'm clutching at straws in a test that we lost by 434 runs. But I still think if Joe Root holds that catch on Sharma on day one and they're 51 for four and Sarfraz has to come in when the ball's still doing a bit, it would have been very, very interesting. I still think they were there for the taking in that first innings. As it was, they then batted beautifully. And we need to win a bloody toss. England needs to win the next two tosses and bat first on these wickets. They have an outside chance of winning this test series. And so, yeah, it was an absolute thumping. India absolutely battered us. We played some pretty horrendous shots. That's to be expected. It's as bad, it's no worse than when we were last over there. It's an absolute pummeling. We move on to the next test match. But in this day and age that we live in, as you mentioned, Daniel, that's not allowed. You're not allowed to offer nuanced middle of the ground opinions. It has to be, this is either the death of Bazball, Ben Stokes and McCullum need to be fired, or get over yourselves. We're the best. We're going to win 3-2. You're not allowed to sit somewhere in the middle. I'm going to sit somewhere in the middle, Daniel, and say, yeah, at times it's a little bit insane to watch, but we just got pumped by India in India. Ask every other team that's been there recently how that feels, and they'll tell you.
Well, I do agree with that. And again, one of the beauties of Bazball is it has a sort of self-accentuating logic to it. So that today they went out to try to play the way that everybody wants them to play, that doesn't approve of this new approach, you know, to bide your time, to get yourself in. And they did do that, actually. They were given a tricky 9 overs before tea, and everything was going splendidly until Duckett went for a single that wasn't there, a truly outstanding piece of glove work from the keeper to whip the bails off, running at full pelt to the stumps from a throw from Siraj that was pinged in on the half volley. And a slightly exhausted, dawdling Duckett was out, at which point everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Poor old Crawley got such a marginal LBW decision. There was a bit of controversy about it afterwards, only a little bit, because Stokes does not want to whinge. He was very clear that he wasn't whinging about this. He just wanted a bit of clarity that there was an image that showed the ball missing the stumps, and yet it was given out for umpire's call. He didn't quite understand why, and then he was given some cockamamie excuse that the numbers said that the ball was hitting, but the image was slightly different. It was as marginal as it can possibly get. Same for Root. He was so unlucky, just clipping the outside of off stump. And those things go against you. And what England had done was try to dig in and try to show that other way of doing it. And in so doing, it kind of made the case for their previous approach. Saying, look, if we do it that way, it all goes to hell in a handcart.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The other thing I would point out is that they were 2-0 down in the Ashes at the end of Lords and quite genuinely said, oh, 3-2's got a ring to it. And in many ways, that was as damaging, if not more damaging, a defeat, because Lyon was out of the game. England got themselves into a really good position and they threw it away. And they were 2-0 down in a high-profile series at home with so much expectations loaded on them. And we all know what happened after that. They came back to boss the last three games. Very much harder to boss two games in India than it is to boss games on your own patch with the bowlers that are suited to the conditions. I think it will also, they will see a bit of a shake-up, not because they want to point fingers at players. I think the amount of overs that Wood and Anderson bowled means that they just have to be rested. Back-to-back games, they'll be travelling probably tomorrow, maybe the day after. It's a bit of a schlep over to Ranchi. So I really do expect one or both of Robinson and Atkinson to come into the side, which I don't think is a bad thing, actually, but different release points, somebody different for the batters to have to face that they haven't lined up yet. And there will be talk about Johnny Bairstow. Now, I'm too scared to do it because if you even make the slight suggestion that Johnny could possibly do with just maybe sitting out these two games and coming back full and firing in the summer, then, well, anyway, it's too frightening a thought to contemplate. So I was going to leave you to do that as part of the kind of Ginga crew, because you could do it like as if you were nurturing him, looking after him, whereas from me, it sounds like terrible heresy. But I do see a case for it's happening. He had an appalling game, poor thing. He faced seven balls. The only runs he got were from a misfield through backward point that went for four. He looked a bit at sea. He was absolutely plum LBW. Even Root said, don't bother looking at that. You're out, pal. And he's just not, his feet aren't working. Things aren't moving. These things happen. These things happen at periods. So,
look, because you're a massive pussy and you won't do it.
I won't do it.
Because I'm an England cricket fan and for what's good for England, we know that if people criticise Johnny Bairstow, he comes out firing and he plays his best cricket. Now, as a result, I am willing to be the one that does that. Because here's what's going to happen, okay? I'm going to say that Johnny Bairstow needs to be dropped for the next Test match. Ooh. He's got 8 ducks against India, more than any player in Test history. 8 ducks against India. Let me say that one more time. 8 ducks against India. He needs to be dropped. But we know that this Bazball team are not going to drop him. He will play the next Test match. Look at like Zach Crawley and the never-ending support he's had. And to be fair, he's absolutely justified it. This side will not drop Johnny Bairstow for the next Test match. There is not a chance in hell. So this is the perfect storm because I'm going to call for him to be dropped and they won't drop him. And therefore, ooh, he's going to score 100 in the next Test match. So this
is actually... You know what else he'll do? He'll take out his furious rage at these suggestions on whichever poor sod has to actually interview him at the close of play. Someone will have to interview him. Probably, I don't know, someone like Graham Swan.
Wouldn't it be great if it's the one time that they go live to the TNT studio and he just lays into Finney?
Oh, yeah. Only Finney kept him in the side. So when they did the post-match...
Yeah, because Finney's a pussy. I'm working with a bunch of pussies.
You are, I'm afraid. Yeah, Finney, Finney like me, has a very strong self-preservation instinct. Sir Alastair Cook, who is a very brave man of the soil, as you know, you don't rustle that many sheep. Or whatever he does with them. I don't suppose he rustles them.
I think that's libelous. I think he does to sheep what a farmer should do to sheep and nothing more.
Oh, that's exactly right. Yes, he's a good sheep farmer. Anyway, as a result, he's got a lot more guts than we have. And he has gone for those three changes, the Robinson Atkinson in for Wood and Anderson. And as he said, his old Essex teammate, or as I prefer to call him, Surrey's Dan Lawrence, to come in. And it does also provide you with that extra little bit of filthy spin, which could take a bit off Joe Root, because a lot's been talked about Joe Root and his batting. He's bowled a lot of overs. We're asking him to do quite a lot of things. And today, fella came on to give him some kind of like a drink. It looked like cramp in his hand, and it was his right hand, his bowling hand, with which he has bowled way more than his reasonable for our champion batter. So having a different filthy off-spin option so that Root only has to bowl maybe 10 overs per innings and Lawrence can bowl 10 or 12 might be helpful. I think
that's right. But you know that they won't do that, right? You do know that Bairstow play the next Test match.
I think I do.
I agree. And I think Lawrence should play the next Test, but he won't. Yeah, you pussy. So this is the thing, right? Because this is the problem, because I don't actually really work in cricket. I do this podcast and that's it. And otherwise, my only other involvement in cricket is getting drunk on the boundary, whereas Norcross and Finney actually work in cricket and sometimes have to brush past Johnny Best, though, in the hallway. So they're terrified of him, whereas I've never met the bloke properly. So what do I care? Drop him, bring Lawrence in, but they won't. Therefore, Best, though, will score 100 in the next test match and everyone's a winner because I'm an England fan first and foremost. And I like Johnny Best, though, a lot. On his day, he's absolutely destructive and he's brilliant to watch. The only quick thing on Joe Root as well, I want to say, the hysteria from that shot from yesterday continued. I dared to put on social media that I didn't care about Joe Root's shot at all, because I didn't. And I stand by what I said yesterday. One person replied to me saying, "You're completely wrong. It cost us the test. We lost by 430 runs." But no, Joe Root's shot cost us the test. So there you go. So I can only apologise. I didn't realise it had cost us the test.
Did you get accused of being a paedophile as well? Because that seems to be the way it mostly goes. If you say something that is slightly disagreed with, then before you know it, you're actually a serious criminal.
It's a short walk on social media from agreeing with Joe Root's reverse scoop to being accused of being a nonce. It's amazing how quickly that can happen. By the way, I just want to say you're welcome to you and Finney as well. Finney is ashamed of this podcast. I mean, I'm ashamed of this podcast as well in many ways, but I managed to slip a reference of it into my appearance on Pointless Celebrities over the weekend. And I brought home the trophy and got two pointless answers and a score of one in the final round. Oh. So I did my job and I saluted the podcast on primetime BBC television over the weekend. Finney, meanwhile, pretends this podcast doesn't exist and buries his head in the sand at every opportunity, which I do get because, you know, let's be honest, it's not something to write home about. But nonetheless,
he's got a reputation, hasn't he, of sorts? Career. I think that's the issue. I mean, my career never really burgeoned and is probably sort of drifting to its final ignominious conclusion. And for you, as you've just pointed out, you don't care what you say in a cricket context because you'll still get paid to just put on Oasis at 11 in the morning.
Exactly. So I've got nothing to lose. So there we have it.
Well done, though, on winning. Really proud
of you. Thank you. That's my second pointless trophy to go with my Richard Osman House of Games trophy.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I know.
Up.
I know. Come at me, The Chase and Tipping Point and
Celebrity Mastermind,
and
surely.
Celebrity Mastermind. Yeah, exactly.
What would be a specialist subject? Johnny Best, eh? And when he should have been dropped.
No, it'd be Dan Lawrence and when he should have been picked. and on that note, I shall see. By the way, keep an eye out. We're going to do a full episode with Finney in the next couple of days. And if you haven't listened to our last full episode of Owen Morgan, we've all agreed it's by far the best episode we've ever done. It was genuinely brilliant and genuinely fascinating. So please go back and listen again to that. I appreciate us saying it's our best ever episode doesn't count for much.
Not a high bar. It's not a high bar.
That's like being the nicest guy on death row. But nonetheless, it's genuinely quite good. So please go back and listen to that. I will see you in the week, Daniel. And I'm already, you know, despite the shellacking we just received, I'm looking forward to another test match in a few days.
You know, me too. I can't wait.
Podcast Network.